The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I'll piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators on a whole Mowgli field. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs. Call me private label, I be leaving breadcrumbs.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 224 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture preparedness and practical living. And sometimes even on Wednesdays, even some other days, we might even talk about the paranormal. How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you?
Good. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam. Okay. Greenwavefilters.com. Wait, I almost messed that up. 5% off with promo code PERMA. Now, check this out. You got all that dirty power coming in your home. This is the best and most economical way of cleaning it up. Don't worry. I'm going to do a video on this in the future, but if you want to get a jump on it, 5% discount. They're already heavily discounted anyway. Like I said, I've tested the top ones out there, and these guys are far and away the best for the money. And yeah, there are other people out there that cost like $2,000 to do your own house, to do your whole house. But you don't have to spend anywhere near that much with these guys. Plus, it works. I know. And like I said, I'm going to show you the video to prove it. All right. If you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a playa, you can do it over there in the form of Satoshis, or they call them sats. So if you want to drop a SAT on a PIMP, you know where to do it. Okay. Where do I begin? Well, why don't we start with a little bit of planned obsolescence? What do I mean by that? And everybody out there, I guarantee you already know what I'm talking about. Man, there is nothing I can stand worse than buying something that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. You know what I'm talking about. We bought pitchforks. This one we got from Tractor Supply, it was a couple of years ago. I mean, we're sticking it in straw and this thing bent. Okay. Yeah. So that went right back. Here lately, we got ink pens. I bought these off the shelf, I think at the grocery store. They were like the higher end kind of ink pens. You know, people still use those out there. That's exactly what I use every single day, ink pens. Folks, try to find an ink pen out there. I am dead serious that lasts more than a couple of weeks. You talk about planned obsolescence. Look, I remember as a kid, those little Bic ink pens would last forever and a day. And now these ones, and I was at Sam's today. Boy, that was not enjoyable. I was at Sam's earlier, and I went and picked up some. We'll just see how long these last. But folks, I mean, everything from your light bulbs to your refrigerator, you name it, every single bit of everything you have is planned to fail, even though they honestly engineer this stuff to be that way. So it's driving me crazy. And I mean, I'll put it this way. How many of you people out there had parents that had a washer and dryer that lasted probably your entire childhood? What about you?
Yeah. And the vacuum too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yep. We had a vacuum, and it was one of those ones where you had to change out the bags, the whole nine yards. Weighed about 100 pounds. I mean, of course it didn't, but it sure felt like it did. That thing lasted forever.
Yeah, we had it the whole time.
All the appliances. All of the appliances. I mean, now how many freezers have we been through?
Oh my goodness. I don't even know.
I can't even tell it.
Freezers, vacuums, washer and dryers.
Even like, you know, that high end touted vacuum, like that Dyson.
Yeah.
That thing, we bought two of those, and those things weren't worth two dead flies. I mean, every single time you turn around, it's these things are engineered to fail. So I said all that to say this. Look, folks, I've brought it up before. I've talked to some other people out there. I got one pitchfork with a broken handle. It's my best pitchfork. Am I wrong?
I don't know. We have one that's curved. Like the handle is curved. You can't even use it.
It's like they tried too hard to like engineer this thing for somebody that doesn't do actual work. And what you wind up with is a product, A, that, you know, ergonomically just doesn't do the job. And then the one pitchfork, like I said, that's worth anything that I can actually get wood chips and stuff with. I'm saying this to say, look, if anybody out there, especially in these really, really tough times, and I know everybody's struggling right now. I mean, all of us are to some extent or another, some degree or another, everybody is having a tough time. I get it. But if you're looking for a little side hustle, y'all, if you have any skill at all at making, I don't care what it is, if you can manufacture a light bulb that lasts, or you can manufacture you can't make incandescent because we can't have those anymore. We got to have the ones that pollute your homes, you know, like these CFLs and these LED bulbs, you know, the ones that can actually spy on you. You think that is impossible? Yeah, they actually exist. And that's another story altogether. But anyway, if you're looking for something, man, go out there and make an ink pen that actually works. Man, I would almost be down with using a feather. I mean, I'd rather go back 1776 kind of stuff than using what we have right now. I mean, it all sucks, every bit of it. So I won't beat that anymore. But as you can tell, planned obsolescence, man, it drives me nuts. So I will spend more money for things that actually work. So other things we're doing around here, I guess we're about maybe 2 weeks into redoing the food forest. When I say redoing, I'm not talking about chopping anything down. I'm going through with cardboard and I'm putting in a massive layer of mulch. Massive. And it's going to take some time to do. But every single time we got to go to town for anything or another, when I go to town, there's a college there. And I go there and work out every day. Well, I go over there and I pick up buckets of wood mulch. It's free. Nobody else is doing it. They don't care if I take it. And this stuff is practically to the point where it's becoming compost. So that's something else we're doing every single day. Hopefully I'll unveil that before too long. And like I said, y'all, 15 minutes at a time, that's really all it takes. It's to do everything I want to do is probably going to take me into winter more than likely, because I'm going through and I'm like, okay, now that the backbone of everything is in, I want to go through and really, really, really double down on what I know a fungus can do. And that's exactly what these wood chips are designed to do, man. You know, it's a gift that keeps on giving. So that's another thing. Well, also over there at the college, we filmed a couple of things over there today. And one of them had to do, I did a video, I think it was a short on these apples, right? And I talked about, I said, I bet the kids will come back to school. Well, a lot of them are back already. Michelle, are these trees loaded or what?
Yeah, I don't think these kids would even recognize it was an apple tree when they're walking by.
There's four of them over there. And the crazy thing about it is that there's no cedar rust, none of that stuff. I mean, there's absolutely all the, and they're planted right under all of these. I mean, surrounding this thing are
cedars. Is it a cedar? I wonder if it's a hemlock tree. I wonder if that's what the deal was.
Well, I saw pine cones on it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So it's a pine. I mean, these guys are absolutely suited. So these are, I mean, kids are walking right by these. I've been eating these apples and I'm about to go over there and clean them off. I mean, hey, you had your chance. I've already asked the people over there. They said, man, take all you want. On that one tree alone, I could probably fill 10, 15, 5 gallon buckets easy.
Yeah, easy.
Easy. And that's the ones I can probably reach. I mean, this thing is absolutely loaded. But look for those things around you. They're there. And here we are. I mean, how many apple trees? I mean, people are waiting till fall for apple season. Man, I found a guy who had a, like I said, it looked like a Granny Smith. This thing has been producing since June and, you know, into July. And then we're finding some in August. So, I mean, think about it. You could have apples, and a lot of these are heritage apples, man. They keep for a very, very long time. Think about this. People back in the day, they raised apples for very different reasons than what they do now. They raise them. I mean, Michelle, tell everybody what are they looking for when they buy stuff in the store? If I'm a store and I'm buying a product, what are they looking for?
They're just looking for something that's going to last through shipping. They don't care about flavor, quality. They care about nothing other than, does it look pretty and will it last very long time through the shipping process?
Yeah, they couldn't care less whether or not it has any nutrition. Well, the people back in the day, that's what they bred for. Not wittingly. They basically bred these things to last more than a day. That's the beauty of an apple. And I've talked often before about this guy I knew in Kansas that would, he would bury a 5 gallon, not a 5 gallon, but a 55 gallon, what do you call it? Like stainless barrel. He'd put straw down in it and he'd fill that bad boy with apples. If I remember correctly, he did a few of them and he would have them all the way until the following apple season. So he would just go out there and lift it and he would bury this thing. He would go out there, lift the lid and had apples all year long. So, and obviously you got to pick the right cultivar for that too. Oh my goodness. Well, had an interesting phone call today. Actually, it's been over a couple of days and I showed it to you before. I'm like, why is the Center for Disease Control calling me? Now, of course, I'm thinking, I mean, this has been going on. They texted me. I mean, they've been rather persistent.
They texted you?
Yeah, they texted me. I got my phone around here somewhere. And it said CDC. Anyway, I was thinking, okay, is this a possibility that somebody's playing a practical joke on me? And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know, but this guy seemed legit because I put it on speaker so you could hear it. I wasn't even going to answer the phone. You said to answer it.
I wanted
today.
To see why the CDC was calling.
Yeah.
Persistently calling.
Yeah. While they got this latest manufactured pestilence, you know, bird flu, boy, they're looking to play that card. And boy, I don't know that I've ever seen them try so hard to try.
They're
and,
trying to do COVID again, too.
Oh, yeah. All of the above. Now it's like COVID, bird, all of it wrapped into one. And they're trying to amalgamate all this stuff and come up with some nonsense. Anyway, I answered this phone reluctantly, put it on speaker, and I wish I would have recorded it because I would have played it here. This guy tells me he's doing a survey on behalf of the CDC, which seemed a little bit odd because it popped up as CDC. And I'm like, okay, if you guys are about to tell me you're coming after my chickens, it's about to get real. It's about to get.
Is that what you thought they were going
to
do?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought they were going to say. Oh, we need to come out and do some testing. Yeah. Let's see how that works out for you, Jack.
I didn't even think about the bird flu.
You better come heavy and you better come with a warrant because I'm like, okay, so let me go ahead and answer this thing. And I'm thinking, okay, either this is a practical joke. I'm thinking either this is a practical joke or, and I'm still not 100% sure. I'm thinking it was
I think
legit.
It's a legit. I think they were legitimately...
Well,
it is kind of funny that the whole bird flu thing, that would be a good practical joke.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, I know people that would go through this much trouble to try to pull a joke on me, but I don't know. This guy, when I started firing back at him,
he sounded like he didn't have a clue.
He didn't know what, man. I threw the blitzkrieg on this dude.
He was dumbfounded.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, what are you calling about? Are you calling to apologize about? I don't know how I put it exactly, but it was somewhere.
Are you aware of how many people were murdered by the vaccine? And he was like,
yeah, I got a better questionnaire for you, Jack. And then he asked, can you tell me how many young or how many people
how many kids like from 4 months old, however much are in your household?
And I'm like, dude, I'm not telling you, Jack, man. I'm like, yeah, so I gave him both barrels. But anyway, if anybody else is getting calls like this, let me know. But like I said, I'm still having 100% ruled out because if somebody was playing a joke on me, yeah, this is exactly how they go about it.
Yeah, I think that guy was so caught off guard that.
Yeah, he didn't see this coming. The odds are it was legit, but I'm still not. Look, I'm a little bit paranoid because of all the practical jokes I've done. And I'm like, if somebody was going to get me. This is exactly how they go about doing it. So look, I'm dubious, but anyway, if anybody else is getting these calls, let me know, because to my knowledge, I'm the only one I know of that's gotten a call from the CDC lately. So who even knows? And you're doing a survey for what? I didn't even let this guy get through it. But anyway, other things we got going on around here, and this might apply to a number of you out there. It's getting to that time of the year. Where you got to start thinking about what you're going to do with your flocks, your herds, and all those things, because if you plan on doing any stockpiling of your grazing or anything like that, well, you better be thinking, because now your grass is getting long in the tooth, okay? You know, your late season grasses are doing their thing, okay? You got your animals running around. But, you know, they've been through the spring flush. And now, unless you're just going to feed hay to everybody all year long, you got to be thinking about culling the herd. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do. And I'm with our sheep, exactly. And honestly, I'm thinking seriously. I'm not going to just say it yet, but the chickens we have, they're a little bit long in the tooth. They're still laying, but not as prolifically.
How old are they? Are they like 2 or 3 years old?
Yeah, they probably got a couple of years on them. And what, no matter where they are in that continuum, y'all, they go in the freezer at that point, because honestly, I can't think of anything better in terms of the broth that comes off of these guys. So, I mean, those bones are tough. Don't get me wrong. And that meat is tougher. But, man, you can get some unbelievable. If you're all about trying to bioaccumulate these minerals, man, they got it in their bones. That's what I'm not really crazy about with these young birds, the ones that are raised for a short
like
period
eight
of time.
Weeks.
Yeah. That's why, because you can even see a big difference even in the birds that we raised for 16 weeks. Because yeah. Once you hit 16, boy, you better get them roosters out of there. They're going to start having some issues. So the birds we raised 16 weeks, the meat was a little more, it had a little more bite to it. It was still manageable. But I guarantee you there was way more mineral content in that chicken tractor on steroids than the birds we produced out of that. And we're still eating them. Mm-hmm. There was way more in terms of mineral content coming out. I guarantee of the meat, I didn't test it, but I can bet you any amount of money. They were raised in that environment. Those birds, I am telling you, y'all, they are eating the best diet on the planet in a chicken tractor on steroid system. But I'm wanting to do it all over again. And this time with a different breed of bird, a lot of people have been talking about. I haven't tried it yet, but I'll let you know. Every kind of bird will work so far in this system except for Cornish Cross. I just want to see if some other ones are going to work in here, and some that are kind of highly touted. So we'll just see.
Well,
how that
you
goes.
Need the heavier birds, though, right? You can't use those really light.
Oh, you can use
birds.
Them. You just need more. Well, no, you can't use a real small. You can use regular standard layers.
Okay.
But you're going to, the bigger the bird in a system like that, you need a bird that can move some material.
Yeah. There's one that they sent us there. It was like an extra bird that they send, and it was pretty light. I don't know what kind it was, but.
Yeah. For those guys, if you're doing that in the chicken tractor on steroids, oh, I'll put it this way. You need about 35 of the smaller birds to do what 21 meat birds will do.
Yeah.
Or 17, actually, is what I figured it out. 17 meat birds will do what, yeah, about 35 regular birds will do. In terms, you need birds that will move some product, and that's what you need. So if anybody's looking to do that, that's where the numbers are. So we had another thing go on yesterday, and it was a pretty good visit. We had some guys from Hiwassee. I keep wanting to say Hiawassa.
I know.
Hiwassee Products come out, and they dropped off a worm bin. Now, I ran into these guys at East Tennessee Homestead Alliance, and John Burleson is one of the guys. If you want one of these things, man, I'm telling you, this thing is the cat's meow. Ultra light. I mean, boy, when I looked at the engineering, at what these guys put into this thing, I mean, it's made out of aluminum. It's tough, but it's very, very light. And they figured out how to do it, because every other worm system that I've seen like this, people are out there with hedge trimmers and stuff like that, trying to get the castings out of
yeah.
there. Man, they have come up with a product that absolutely blew my mind out there. So I teamed up with them and I said, look, man, why don't you guys let me take this thing for a test drive? I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody that it's good. Judging by what I see, this thing, by all appearances and by functioning, because of what I did and what I do, I kind of, you know, a lot of us out there that are craftsmen, you can kind of look at something and kind of tell whether or not this thing's going to be good. But you never truly know until you take it for the real test drive. Well, they let me have one of these things out here, and I threw some compost in it, ordered some worms. Hopefully they get here soon.
Yeah, they should get here within a couple days.
Okay, they haven't sent an email saying, hey, this thing's on its way yet. But, yeah, ordered some worms. But here's the thing, man. We already had tons of worms in that stuff. So I took some of my finished compost that is absolutely, I mean, this stuff is fantastic. And we're going to take those red wigglers. We're going to throw them up in there, and I'm going to follow the instructions. And here's what I'm looking to do. And I've talked about it many times before. Every single thing a worm touches, y'all, is improved dramatically. Everything that its body touches and everything that it consumes is absolutely made much, much, much better. So if I can take this compost that I currently have that is already on another planet and compared to anything you could ever hope to dream of buying, and folks, I can teach you how to do that, by the way. Watch our videos on Patreon. You could just follow the steps. You can do it. Other people have done it. That's your fertility, man. And while everybody else is over here tripping about this and that, that and this, oh, I can't get nitrogen-based this or that, man, forget a bunch of that. Grow your – this is – with the world the way it is, look, I can sit here and go on about the problems forever and a day, but or we can talk about solutions. And that's exactly what that worm machine is, what I'm expecting it to do. It's very simple. The engineering is precise and to the point. It makes perfect sense. And I can't wait to give everybody a real test drive of what this thing will do. If it does what they say it does. And, you know, I can't imagine these people driving all the way over here to drop this thing off for it not to work.
Well, and they sound like they put a lot into their engineering. They test it. They go through different, they make changes to it. So I think they probably have a model that they're pretty happy with.
Well, I'll tell you what else they're happy with. Leaving out of here with all that fruit. Man, these guys were losing their minds, man, eating these peaches right off the trees and the pears. And I sent them home with a whole gang. And then you gave them some, what was those trees?
Comfrey root, crowns, fig trees.
Gave them a bunch of comfrey, crowns. Yeah, the whole nine yards. So I wouldn't say it was an even trade because obviously that thing probably costs a pretty penny. But I can't wait to give this thing a test drive. And if it does what I think it's going to do, I can't wait to look under the microscope. It's going to... You got to wait a little while to let this thing get off and running. But think about this, y'all. I'm spending time on this for a reason. Whether you do it with a device like this or whether you have another way of, if you make some balling compost and you got your worms in that stuff and your compost is already swinging, the stuff that's coming through those worms is going to put it on steroids. So if I'm making this highly, highly fungal compost, and it goes through these worms, and now I can combat multiply it by turning it into extract. Do you have any idea what that's going to do? I mean, good night, man. This is going to be really something else. And honestly, I was never really it never really occurred to me to get into the worms before. Had you ever had any interest in messing with them?
It's not that I didn't have an interest. It's just another thing. Like William had the interest in doing it. He's always had an interest in doing it. It's just... I have interests. It's just finding the time to add to it is always my problem. Like
Well, I think you said it better because honestly, I've always had an interest in this stuff. It was like, man, I just don't think I can add one more thing to my plate.
Right. I mean, unless like they showed up and they explained the system, like it's manageable, but for me to go and put in, because they covered that course in, Dr. Ingham's soil food web course, and they showed all the different models. So for me to do the research to find the one that's going to work for us, like it's just not something I can put in the effort at the moment, but they took all that out. You know what I mean?
You know, but you know what else I was thinking too is, and you and I kind of bounced it around yesterday. Look, we're already making compost. I mean, they're selling compost in town last I knew for stuff that wasn't even a fraction as good. I'm talking regular finished compost, not sifted, not anything. And they were charging $100 a yard for the biology that's in ours. We could get, I mean, honestly, if you're going to count the biology based on weight, we would probably charge $1,000 a yard. I mean, considering the life that's in ours compared to that stuff that you buy in bags or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Now, for anybody out there looking, okay, I've been trying to throw as many bones as I can. I talked about this planned obsolescence and how you might be able to find a way of doing that. Folks, sell your fertility. I'm dead serious. My goal is to make comfrey so ubiquitous that I can't even sell it. Okay. But now how many people out there, given all the things that are going on in Ukraine, which, you know, was our number two producer through the Haber-Bosch process of producing nitrogen-based fertilizers, Canada's number one, and if I'm not mistaken, Ukraine was number two. Well, when all those guys were over there tripping about this and that, do you think maybe, just maybe, if you were to get into worms, that you might be able to go out there and sell these castings? You'd probably make a fortune.
Yeah.
I mean, with our reputation already, because you know better than anybody, obviously, how much we put into, you know, keeping our reputation intact by doing good business practices and doing everything else, that if you were to go out there and start selling some product like this, I mean, good night. Can you imagine how much you could actually get yourself through whatever storm we're going through right now, whether at home or whether to your neighbors? I mean, you could be selling this stuff, and I don't even want to start thinking about what you could possibly charge for this. So if anybody's looking for a side business, man, don't worry. I'll give you everything you need to know. Once I know what's up on this thing, it's going to take about a month for me to get this thing off and running before I get a product out of there and before we have a chance to look at it under the microscope. And the cool thing is we'll be able to do before and after. You can look at the stuff before it was in there and then afterwards. And so we can offer a real, you know, a real view as to the benefit of doing this. You were going to say something?
No, I was going to just say, yeah, we can do like the numbers before and then run it through the system and give you the numbers after.
Yeah, so you'll know. And for all you people out there looking for a side hustle, man, here's another one. I mean, produce worms, start your own worm business. I mean, for crying out loud, y'all, there's options out there. You're just going to have to think outside the box. And honestly, the crazier things get, the further out the box you're going to have to think. All right, so some other news here. Farm news anyway. Went down to the local farm store, and man, they are every time I go by there, it's like a ghost town. And you and I couldn't understand it. I went there. I know obviously it's like a mom and pop kind of place. And I know all of the people that work there and own it. And man, people are hard. I mean, you would figure a farm store would kind of stay pretty steady, because if you're farming, what was your thoughts on the whole matter?
That's the lot. Like, you're not going to just going to give, like, what are you going to do? Sacrifice chicken feed? Like, that's going to be something you consistently have to purchase. Like, the farm store, I thought, would be the last one that would feel the effects of hard times.
Yeah, well, they're not, because I went by there. I said, how's everything going? You know, last time they told me, man, things are... Man, never seen it like this before. And then I went in today and had to get a couple of things. And there's another thing I want to tell you about too. I see they have a little bit of fenbendazole, and we use all of it, whether it's fenbendazole, ivermectin. No, we don't use it on the animals. We use it on us. And if you look at the work of, well, I got to be kind of careful about how I say this. Well, no, I'll tell you what we do. We use it. And we use it as a prophylactic. And there's a, if you have, okay. So if your animals have to be wormed from time to time, do you think maybe humans ought to be as well, especially if you have close contact with them? Just kind of stands to reason that maybe you should. So every single chance I can, y'all, I'm buying as much of this stuff as I can, whether it's benbendazole or whether it's ivermectin, you know, for my own personal, and yes, I use horse paste. If anybody wants to say that, yes, I use it. I'm not going to tell you what or how much or whatever the case may be. You and Michelle uses it as well.
Right.
Especially when you were feeling yucky the other day, we made sure we gave you another shot of it. If you look at the work of people like Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Edward Group, oh man, there's a whole bunch of people out there that you've probably never heard of. Hopefully I can get them on this show, but man, some of these people, I don't even know how they get interviewed, because try to contact them to get them on the show and it's nearly impossible.
Also, Mike Adams, the health ranger, he has excellent health information. Like, a lot of times during his show, he'll drop little health tips on whether it's how to take care of your animals without going to the vet, or like just things you can do without going to the doctor.
So be thinking about that, but I'm going to tell you the big thing. I went in there. I was looking at, I was trying to see what antibiotics they had, for obvious reasons. And I go up there and I ask, I won't say any names here, but I go up to the counter and I'm like, hey, what's the deal on the antibiotics? And she told me, well, I'll tell you what's up. We got one last shipment coming in. That's it. And I mean, and I'm like, well, Michelle already knew about this, but I wanted to confirm it. And so I didn't want to ask leading questions. I said, what do you mean? And she says, well, from here on out, if you want any antibiotics, you got to go to your vet or somebody, you know, that can distribute these things. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You used to be able to go to your farm store, to your local farm store, and get a whole, I mean, you couldn't get everything, but you could get your general antibiotics, vaccines for your dogs if you wanted to give it to them. I mean, this is like a, and then gradually over the last couple of years, they've reduced what you've been able to get. There's just gradual, all of a sudden, this kind wasn't available. You had to go to your vet. Now it's to the point where everything, and they're doing it with humans also. They're reducing things that you, they're reducing information and they're reducing products that used to be just you can get over the counter. They're making it so you have to go to the doctor.
Well, tell them what you told me, what Bear said.
And, Bear said
and,
that.
And Danny and Wanda down at Deep South.
Well, Danny and Wanda, when you talked to them a while ago, they're getting censored for any medical information. And it's not like they're putting, you know, this is just experiences, personal experiences that they've had that they're sharing with people. And they're getting censored for it. There was something on Etsy. Somebody was, their store was getting shut down because they were selling, I think it was like herbal salves or something like that. Some sort of medical, like herbal treatment. Bear Independent said the other day that the quick clot bandages, which are, you know, are over the counter. He said something else too. I can't remember what it was, but I know the quick clot bandages, they're going to be, they're not going to be available over the counter. So it's this gradual, you better get whatever you can right now while you can get it.
Well, and you can see it ramping up. I mean, so let me ask you, why do you think, now you got to ask yourself, if this is happening, and it is, you don't take my word for it, go out and do your own research. If this is happening, you got to ask yourself, why would the powers that shouldn't be, why would they do this? What would be their impetus in doing this? Maybe there's a vested interest in seeing that you don't have what you need without going, I mean, you know, let's say we break down to a CBDC, a central bank digital currency, or whatever the case may be, which is exactly, you know, they probably want to implode this system and then probably bring us into something like that. And now anything that you need medically, all of a sudden, you got to go out there. And plus, they don't want you to know that things like, you know, all of the people talking about these remedies that are out there in the field, things that you can grow. I was talking to Shane over at the Creaky Tree Cafe. Folks, if you're going to this Homesteaders United Jamboree, I'm telling you, the dude will blow your mind with the things he is able to produce on this food truck. But before he was in the food trucks, he was also in the medical field, and he was very, very good at what he did. And he was especially good at being able to heal people with things that grow on the ground. Okay. Knowing that if you take a bunch of yarrow and you got somebody, the yarrow will stop a blood. I mean, it's blood
bleeding,
clotting.
Right.
Yeah. You're bleeding. We got yarrow growing everywhere. Right. Well, why on earth would YouTube and anybody else censor information like that? Because they don't want you to know it. Because it's ramping up. Look, we're not in the fear business, y'all. We're telling you all of this to say, look, go out there. You better. This is why I say, this is why since we began this podcast, the tagline at the end is stay alert, stay alive. Because we're trying to make you aware of the things that are going on. We can't even talk about, we can't even dream of talking about this on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the distribution out there, they will cut it down. And they're even trying to do things like, you know, tamp down the podcast, I'm sure, to a certain extent, which makes it of vital importance that all of you out there, please send this thing out to everybody that could use this information. It's happening. And like I said, this is a local farm store. This is information I already had, but I don't go in there asking leading questions because I want to know whether or not they're being hit.
But it's also multiple sources of information. Like it's more than one data point. Like Danny and Wanda's videos are getting taken down because they, and this is like years, they're going back through videos from not just recent, but a few years ago and taking stuff down.
It's crazy. And they're going to keep doing this sort of thing. And the vested interest, honestly, is to see you to a point where you can't do anything to help yourself or your family for that matter. This is the state of the world that we live in. And so many people that you and I both know, as we speak, are on vacation. They are busted. They are broke beyond words. My best friend told me about these folks. One of them works for them from time to time. They bought this trailer. This is down in Oklahoma. Bought this trailer, and they don't even have water. But they had to go on a vacation to Branson. Can't afford to get a well because it costs too much, but you got money to go to Branson. Really? I don't even know what to say to that, man. Well, I guess the only polite thing I can say is may your chain sit lightly upon you. All right, with that said, Milk Boy, this is the last little bit of farm news. He likes the killing because it is so fulfilling. Yeah, he went Old Testament on the little skunk out there, and little Mr. Skunk is in that pile. But folks, use your dogs wisely. I mean, obviously, they can be a really good deterrent. That's obviously the number one way you want to use them, because when they hear that bark, coyotes are going to think, maybe I want to go to the neighbor next door who doesn't have a livestock guardian dog. But also, that bark travels a very long way. And, you know, whether it's somebody that's coming in at your gate, those dogs will let you know about that sort of thing. So, you know, value your animals out there and use them in the right way. If you can possibly do it, I know not everybody can get fencing out there, but if there's any way to keep your animal fenced and close to where they need to be, where they're doing their job, that's what you want. I know a lot of people hate it when I say, oh, you're letting your dogs run wild. Well, your dog may be very well out there killing somebody else's stock.
Or chasing them.
Yep. Chasing. Well, yeah, that happens. Go over there and chase a farmer's cow and see the shelf life on that dog. Because honestly, they can't have broken legs on their cattle. All right. But that said, we're going to go and tell you real quick what's going on. We got Comfrey Crowns. Michelle, why don't you tell them what you got? How many? We're going to do these Comfrey Crowns until you run out, right? Until basically the season's done.
Right. We'll do it till we run out. I'm not sure what the timeline will be. But so it's for every 10 Comfrey cuttings you order, you'll get a free crown. So if you order 10 cuttings, you get a free crown. If you order 20, you get 2 crowns.
And here before long, we're hoping to have crowns for sale because we're getting to the point. That's how much, look, y'all, we plant this stuff everywhere. Anybody that comes out here, man, they're like, wow, you got any grass, man? This is all Comfrey.
We're running out of spots.
Yeah. Well, we ain't running out. We just got more difficult spots to put it. So coming up, and boy, it's really coming up pretty close. Homesteaders United Jamboree. You know, we talked about this before. That's going to be August 29th through the 31st. William and my grandbaby and my daughter-in-law are going to be here for that. And man, I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to hanging out with a lot of you guys as well. So it's going to be a good time. And like I said, we got chefs out there doing the dinners and the food truck. Honestly, if we had nothing but that food truck, you'd be like, where has this dude been my whole life? He's that good. He and his wife run this food truck that will blow your mind. You will not believe what they can do on this food truck. And when you... If you get the opportunity to talk to Shane on that food truck, he's a little rough around the edges, but I'm telling you what, the guy is wicked smart in so many doggone things, but he is a flipping genius in the kitchen, y'all. You ain't never seen nothing like it. All right, not long after that, the following weekend, I'm going to be there, Midwest Preparedness Project. That's going to be in Lawrence, Kansas, our old stomping grounds. We used to live really close to there, and Lawrence used to be a really awesome food town. I don't know we haven't been there more than a decade, huh?
I don't know. I think I'm just never going to go back to Lawrence.
Yeah.
Lawrence is like...
You want to remember it the way it was.
I can't go back. It's going to be destroyed in my... Because I also went to KU there, so yeah. I'm not going back.
Yeah, the Homestead Honey graduated from KU with honors. She was on the rowing team there. You were the oldest one on that rowing team, and you were smacking it down on those young girls that couldn't keep up with you. So she was, so she graduated from there, and that's obviously where the University of Kansas is in Lawrence. And it was bohemian, had a bohemian feel back then, you know. Obviously, we was very, very far to the left, But Lawrence was like Asheville in that extent. And then COVID happened and everybody lost their flipping minds, turned Asheville into, I mean, it used to be a really, really, really awesome place that where, you know, and now it just turned, there's so many lunatics around here. You wouldn't even believe it. I'll go back there because, man, it, you know, I'm really excited because this is my old stomping grounds. These are the people I got into this whole thing with. And these are salty the earth kind of people. I know the ones that are going to be at this event. And it's a free event, y'all. I mean, camping in the whole nine yards. But if you wanted to stay in Lawrence, I mean, you're welcome to do that as well. But yeah, Midwest Preparedness Project. Hopefully I'm going to have a couple of the guys that are organizing this thing. We're going to have them on the show. We'll probably go live on YouTube and talk about it. But that, I guarantee you, is going to be a fantastic event. And I used to MC their events before, Bobby Spaggs and Spaggs Unfiltered. You can find him on YouTube. And I'm going to be doing a class also with Darren, Wicked Smart, Hacks for the Homesteader. I mean, yeah. I mean, we're going to be working together doing some chicken processing. And the cool thing is I'm going to be able to hang out with so many people out there that I haven't seen in forever in a day. And I'm going to meet some new friends out there. And man, I can't even, it's at Clinton Lake. So I'm looking forward, honestly, one of the big things I'm looking forward to is I want to go to the Kasbah Burger Stand and see if they still have the duck fat fries. They used to deep fry their fries in duck fat, and it would blow your mind. They had a Kobe beef burger. And then also Wheatfields, biscuits and gravy.
Forget the biscuit. Nobody cares. Nobody likes biscuits and gravy.
What?
Coming
from a person from New York. Yeah. Don't ever say that in the presence of a Southerner.
Go to Wheatfields and get their bread. They have excellent bread. But yeah, nobody cares about biscuits and gravy. You're not supposed to put gravy on a biscuit.
Michelle, do you have any idea how many people just unsubscribed? Do you have any idea? Yeah. Don't, man. Hey, all my. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, now. I mean, you know how many people just unsubscribed right now? No. You people back east, up north, back east, got no idea how breakfast ought to be done.
We know better than to put sausage gravy on a biscuit.
Well, yeah, you'll be singing a different tune. That well, I'll remember you said that while I'm sitting there licking my chops at Wheatfields.
Yeah, I don't care about Wheatfields.
Yeah, well, it's
biscuits
on.
Biscuits and gravy.
Mm-hmm. Well, check this out. Also, we got pig processing. That's going to be with Jason at Sow the Land. Got an email from one of the people that's going to be there. Had a really awesome question, which I'm going to come to in the Q&A part of this. But anyway, that's going to be October 25th and 26th, and then November 15th and 16th. This is going to be a very in-depth kind of thing. And we're going to spend some time on this. And good fellowship, good food, good time. Jason's place, every time I go out there, man, I'm blown away at how much they're able to get done because I saw what that place looked like before and what they're turning it into, man, is really Candyland. I mean, for anybody that's into this stuff. So be there, be square, y'all. Some really good stuff going on. And man, don't let this idiotic nonsense keep you from getting the training you need. I mean that. So many people are starting to acquiesce. And look, we put money aside for education. Do we not?
Yeah.
Yep. And just if people knew how much we spend on education, because, and it's not something we do begrudgingly, I'm doing it because this is my passion, man. So I want to know as much about it as I can. And I will pay anything I can to learn from the very, very best. And that's what we do. So I got a little bit of that going on next week. I'll tell you about the details when it's all over, but I can't wait to get some of that, that's on top of all the other things we have going on around here. So yeah, really, really busy time. So let's get into the good news here. So check this out. Now folks, I got to preface this. Remember, I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm not red state. I'm not blue state. It's the state against you, but I got to point this one out and I'm glad to hear it. Democrat election worker in Texas is facing 6 felony charges for rigging the 2022 election. Now, why is this important? Folks, the only reason I'm bringing this up is that if you don't have the fidelity of your elections, you are in a third world dictatorship. That is really where you are. I don't care whether you like Trump, whether you like Biden, Harris, whatever the case may be. If you don't have the fidelity of your elections, then who's really running things? You got to be asking yourself these questions. I would have thought after the election, all the way back with the dimpled chads and all the other stuff down in Florida, you would have figured nationwide, we would have said, okay, we are going to come up with a comprehensive way, every state, because this is done by on the state level, you would have figured every state would have said, okay, we're going to be hand counting, we're going to be doing this, no electronic, whatever. I am just appalled that an election could even be done electronically.
Well,
where there is no paper verification.
Right. Yeah. Their solution, they presented a problem and then they came in with their solution, which was even worse than the problem to begin with.
And people are still looking for government to solve their problems. Right. Yeah. You're wanting to go out there, pay taxes, have these people solve your problems. But here they are. But anyway, I'm glad somebody's going into pokey for this. But there needs to be probably thousands more that need to go in the clank. And in fact, you know, you throw that, 70-some-year-old grandmother from J6, which was, wow, that was the biggest crap show there ever was. You throw her in the clink. But meanwhile, Biden gives a Medal of Freedom to that one lady who got caught fixing ballots. I mean, folks, this is the world we live in, but you better fight. You better stand up, be a poll worker, poll watcher, whatever the case may be. But anyway, I'm calling that good news because there's thousands of people that need to go in the clink. And I'm hoping there was Max Kaiser that was on a show recently with Alex Jones. And I don't listen to Alex Jones much. I mean, I know what he is and I know what he's all about and I know who pays him. And, but anyway, you have Max Kaiser on there. Sometimes some really good things come out. And Max Kaiser basically said, man, we are at a point right now where you better be on your knees, because what else can you do at this point? You better be on. This is Max Kaiser saying this of all people. And he's like, you had better be on your knees, because we are at a time in America that is quite literally unprecedented. And when I say unprecedented, because we have armaments and stuff that were undreamed of in 1776. So you better be on your knees, y'all. Pray for godly leadership. And, you know, man, all the time I think of Psalms 5, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. I pray that every day, y'all, every single day. Anyway, next article, community preparedness building. Now this is good news, but also, Michelle, I think you're going to agree that this is kind of on the heels of the guys we talked to yesterday, Hiwassee Products. And this one just happened to pop up. Community preparedness, building networks for support and resources. Now, I'm not going to go into any details because I wasn't given liberty to do so, but those guys that came out, they are the only people I've ever met in my life that belong to a community group, a cooperative community group that ever works. Have you ever heard of any of them?
No, not long-term, no. I've heard of a lot of people that try them out and end up falling apart.
These guys have been doing this for a long, long time, and I'm not going to go into any more detail, but like I said, I wasn't given liberty to do so, but I was so fascinated. I mean, we almost didn't even get to talk about the talk on the worm bin, because I'm sitting here blown away at their how they make this work and how it works for their community. Now, obviously it wouldn't work for everybody, but it clearly works for them. I was absolutely blown away. So that's why I'm saying this is good and bad news, but I had to bring it up on the heels of our conversation with these guys yesterday, because I was just so fascinated. I couldn't quit asking questions. But anyway, in this article, they kind of highlight, you know, building networks for support and resources. And they talk about some of the things you probably already know of. Now, in these communities, it is a double-edged sword. Now, the guys we were talking to are joined together on the basis of very, very core fundamental values that they're raised with. That's entirely different than getting somebody you met at a prepper camp or whatever the case may be. They look like they're whatever, you know, but you come to find out they're more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. You know what I mean? But some of the benefits of doing this is sharing resources, and there's a ding, 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 ding going off in both of our minds, I'm sure. Improving defensive capabilities, well, that is definitely one of the big things, and diversifying skills. Now, Michelle, what are some of the downsides you can think of in terms of building these communities?
I think that when you build these communities, in our experience, you have people that are doing most of the work and the other ones that just let everybody else do all the work.
Yeah.
And the people, even the skills, like let's say somebody has medical knowledge. Well, with that medical knowledge, you're expected to have a certain level of preparedness. And if that person that has access to that and the knowledge of it doesn't actually prepare with the medic, like what is the point? So it's like, you got to make sure that people not only have the skills and the knowledge, but they're actually doing what they should be doing.
They're working outside. Okay. So if your wheelhouse is a medical doctor, then clearly if you're in this community, you should probably be working on bandages and all these other things. But we were in a situation where there was a medical doctor and he wanted to get everybody else's lane, but didn't even, when I got a cut on my wrist, which one is it?
Yeah. Your arm.
Yeah. My arm. And it was a pretty bad one. I got caught up in some metal. And it was stupid and it was preventable and I was just playing dumb about it. I got cut wide open. They had no means to stitch me up.
Not even.
No antibiotics.
Right.
No, not even bandages.
Nothing at the house.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I had to go in there and get stitches the whole nine yards and get sewn up. It was a pretty deep cut. Could have been way worse. But the point being is that the MD that was linked up in this thing, I mean, thought he was a flipping genius and everything, but I mean, was a walking, had more degrees than a thermometer, but no common sense.
And completely fell down on his, in his lane, was not prepared at all.
Not even a little bit, not even a little bit. And this MD worked in an emergency room sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, had all the necessary skills, but had zero to sew me up or to heal anybody should something jump off. So that's where some of these things, man, that is a double-edged sword. So I'm a big fan of mutual assistance groups. Now that's totally different where you got a group of people that if something jumps off, okay, hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Or, hey, do you got any extra honey? Or, man, hey, I'm a little low on this. Can you help me out? Or, hey, man, they're coming after me. Can you come help? You know, and then when you have this set of skills out there, then you can do something with that. But honestly, far and wide, man, generally, until yesterday, I would have told you that I know of no example of a community like this that works. But I was proven wrong. I know of at least one. And like I said, maybe in the future I can talk about that. I wasn't, like I said, given liberty to do so, but just be cautious about those things. But I'm going to call that a good news article because right now, if there was ever a time you need to be finding out who your mutual assistance group or community might be, now's the time. And honestly, be careful of those people where you got a married couple and you got one person that's going in it kicking and scratching, but the other person is very capable. Man, you're going to be shocked at how much one person can utterly destroy everything for everybody else.
Yeah, because you're not just getting the person that you might like, you're getting whoever they're married to also.
Yeah, and we both know that can be an absolute disaster. In fact, in some cases, you will find, and I've seen it more than once, where you got that spouse that is actually proactively destroying the things that are going in,
yeah,
in an effort to try to derail the entire thing for everybody. So selfish. She was so doggone selfish.
Well, it's not just one she.
I know. So incredibly selfish. But on the same token, they had a husband that pulled them into it and they didn't want it.
And just said, this is what we're doing. Do it.
Yep. We're doing it. Do it. And now... But, you know, she was so, well, I'll just talk about that one, was so absolutely diabolical, didn't even care about the fact that you're destroying everybody else that's linked in that community. Instead of you dealing, yeah, so you got to be really, really careful about that stuff, y'all. So, in fact, I really ought to get some people on here that are doing communities that actually work. I think I'm going to reach out to some folks I know. Anyway, So check this out. Here's a poll that was just recently done. A majority of Americans are against deploying U.S. troops to defend Israel.
Good.
How about that?
Maybe nobody will go if they're when they demand it. That's my hope, is that people say, you know what? Go fight your own wars.
Well, they're willing to fight down to the very last American, like always. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I made this prediction back when William was on the show with me. I said, you know, honestly, people are so brainwashed about the political state of Israel that they will brag about the fact that their children got murdered
in defense of them. Yeah, I pray that's not true.
I do too. But people are so brainwashed. And then when you hear people from the Israeli Knesset on TV, Israeli TV, I couldn't even believe the clip I was watching. It's been going around everywhere now, where you have people in the Knesset, which is like their House of Representatives, or basically their Congress, that are defending these troops that are raping other troops.
I saw that.
Civilians even. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how on earth do you, I don't care who you are, how do you provide, John Hagee, explain to me how you defend that.
Yeah. They're saying it's their right to rape these Palestinian prisoners. That's their right.
I'm like, this is barbarism that is so far on another level to make a case that it could possibly, I don't care who you are, there is no defending this. I don't care what anybody did, there is no defending this. And then got video of it. I'm just appalled by, and then here it is, you know, we don't have money for grandma out here flipping coins, figuring out whether or not she's going to take her heart medication, but we got all the money in the world, Lindsey Graham and the filth like him, to send it over to Ukraine and Israel
to bomb more children.
Yeah. I mean, and then you got Netanyahu, His Excellency, as he was called right here, saying that almost no civilian. No. Are you kidding me?
No. Yeah.
I mean,
almost no civilians have been murdered.
I mean, people are saying, well, I wish you wouldn't take a stance on this. Look.
Well, you know what? Children, watch the videos of the school that was bombed. Like, what if somebody came over to the United States and did that? What if somebody, like, you can't, I don't, these are children.
You cannot, and then they're going to say, well, there were terrorists in there. Okay, yeah, sure. How about all the other cases? I mean, I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but the fact of it is, Americans are like, well, I'll put it this way. They'll be singing a different story if another false flag comes up. History's pages are full with them. Let's just hypothetically, I want to be real. I don't want to speak this in. I don't want to put this out in the zeitgeist. But the point being is, let's say all of a sudden a military barracks in one of those, you know, we got 900 military bases in 130 countries. You tell me we ain't an empire. Mm-hmm. Let's say one of them got bombed, and it would probably be us bombing our own guys, you know, or it'll be an inside job like 9/11 or anything else like it. And they'll blame it on Iran. I don't care what happens. You know, somebody can get a hangnail. Oops, Iran did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Iran's the latest bad guy now.
Well, they've always been the bad guy, according to them. Well, everything you think you know, folks, just think about this. Everything you think you know about all of this stuff has been told to you by profligate liars. So if you knew a person that lied to you 1/100th to the extent that these people do, they could tell you the sun rose in the east and you would go out and look and check. But because you heard it on Fox News or you heard it on MSNBC or CNN, you're willing to buy this. But I'm telling you what, the more Americans starve, and that's what it takes, sadly, for a very decadent society. The more Americans starve and they see, hold on, you got money for this?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, I'm over here, you know, like those people down at the feed store. I mean, it's crazy. You got money for this, but we don't have jobs. Yeah, explain that to me. Well, look, man, I better get off my high horse, man. With that, we're gonna change the whole topic and run on over to Eric.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip: designed to be cleaned. When you view the world through a permaculture lens, you realize how poorly designed our human settlements are. As Bill Mollison said, you couldn't do a worse job. One thing that's almost never considered with home and building design is how easy they are to clean. Every time I see some ridiculous building design, my first thought is, how the heck are you going to clean those windows? Conventional homes seem to be designed to be impossible to clean. They are nothing but sharp corners, complex seams, and transitions. Buckminster Fuller was the first person I ever heard talk about designing for ease of cleaning. He had a one-piece stainless steel bathroom design with all smooth corners and transitions. You could just about wipe down the entire bathroom in one motion. When I was in Jordan, I realized the genius of floor drains. You can literally clean the floor with a hose. I think my ideal house design would be concrete floors with floor drains and a giant exhaust fan so I could dust with an air compressor. I think houses are mostly just dust creating machines. You could replace the boulder with dusting in the tale of Sisyphus. As soon as you finish, you need to start again. We've also completely lost the function of the mudroom. It was the buffer from the outside world to the rest of the house, where all the dirty and wet stuff would be left behind. There would also be a sink where you could rinse off the vegetables from the garden. A big part of the issue is we conflate complexity with value. A modern roof is the perfect example. It's as if the builder got paid per downspout. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
Boy, he knocked that one into orbit. That's no my kidding. Dog right there, man. And we're in one of those places he's describing.
Yeah.
And this wasn't our ideal place to live. It isn't. I mean, honestly, my ideal home is still an earthship. And Lord willing, we will have one. But everything he described there is exactly what I'm talking about. Earthship has a mudroom. Earthship has concrete floors. And the ease of having worked on two of them now, the ease of everything in there, it is like it is made, like Eric says, boy, I don't know how you could put that any better. It's like they were paid by the downspouts. Instead of making this thing efficient, it's like those Dallas style homes had.
That's what I was thinking. It's like the more peaks, I don't know. I'm not a roof. I don't know enough to speak about it intelligently, but like the more complicated you can make the roofs, that's what they do.
It was the dumbest design. I remember when I first saw them, when they first started becoming popular through Texas, Oklahoma, and then ultimately Kansas, it was like, you got all this roof, but you only got one story in the house. Mm-hmm. It was the dumbest design I've ever seen in my life. And everybody was doing it. And I was like, and they called it the Dallas design. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You're better off with just a regular ranch, but then you'd have all these different curves on there and the efficiency goes right out of the window. But that takes me right back to an earthship for exactly the reasons he's describing. You know what? You're always grounded in an earthship because you have either concrete or mud floors, you know, pressed earth, whatever the case may be. That is precisely why I want to go exactly to the very thing he's talking about. Then when you get down to energy management, you know, you're heating and cooling that thing just based on good design, your power requirements next to absolutely nothing.
Do you think the dust would be less than an earthship?
Well,
with the airflow,
you could put a filter on there, but I don't even think that would be necessary. You're probably going to still have some degree of dust. But there are ways. I think maybe you could probably get rid of some of it too, because of how the moisture content when you're going through those tubes would probably, capture a lot of that. And then when it condenses, it's probably going to go down those tubes that it's in. So likely, probably not. In fact, the air quality in an earthship, despite what all these people are saying, is light years improved because you got the Adobe, which cleans the air. And also you're taking in outside air 100%. It's right. Not breathing any stale air or anything like it. That's why the house we're in is by no means, the only reason we got it is because it was the only thing available and nobody wanted it.
Well, we were looking at the land. We weren't even necessarily concerned about the house. We got
right.
We picked based on the topography, ability to graze.
Well, that wasn't an easy decision either, but that was part of the decision. But also we wanted to leave Texas at any cost.
Well, yeah.
And this was the only listing that nobody was lying. I mean, every single listing out here, they lied about what was on it. So we got this house and it's exactly everything Eric described. We're sitting here looking at each other. Yep. Yep. Check, check, check. So, yeah, the ultimate thing is to ultimately, it's still my dream to live in an Earthship. That's what I want to do. It's, he hit all the points there. I would do a
plus the air, like if you pick one of them where that you have the greenhouse, the plants are also cleaning the air.
Exactly.
So you've got that part too.
Yes. Your plants. Yeah, well, yeah, that's a real critical part of it too, but that's in your greenhouse. But then you could also have stuff on the inside of your greenhouse that are also helping to clean that air, but you're getting constant fresh air from outside. I can't remember the HVAC requirements for how much fresh air was supposed to come in. Now, depending on where you live, maybe that fresh air ain't as fresh as you'd like, but where we are, it's pretty darn good. And today was the first day, as a little side note, first day I've seen chemtrails in a couple of weeks. Huh, we have pretty good weather for the last couple of weeks. How about that? We'll see what starts happening. And then all of a sudden, after those chemtrails, even though there was no rain forecasted, all of a sudden we had a little bit of rain.
Yeah.
Cloud cover. Seemed like a coincidence to you?
No.
No, never is. But we're conspiracy theorists, right? All right. EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Things jump off. Look, you're not looking to go to the club. What you're looking to do, what you ought to be doing, is trying to get back to your house. And then in addition to that, if you are on the grid and something jumps off and you have the EMP shield hooked onto your house, okay, it will cover you from multiple EMPs, but I'll tell you what, your biggest threat is always going to be lightning. Anything gets downstream of that EMP shield, they're going to cover you for 25 Gs. Can't beat that. Take it from me, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy, 27-year IBEW journeyman, wireman in good standing. And I'm telling you what, I'm putting my seal of approval on it. And yeah, EMP Shield, y'all. They didn't reach out to me. I reached out to them. That's how good the product is. So let's get into this main topic. This might be one that might seem a little controversial, but I'm going to do the best I can to try to be as genteel about it because I've dealt with, and so has Michelle, I think, to a certain extent. And we're talking about beating the poverty mindset. Man, there are so many. We could talk about this one for episode after episode after episode. Let me just give you a little background of how I grew up. Okay. Mom and dad, both convicted felons, raised by my grandmom. She was recently widowed, looking after six boys. Yeah, she was tough. And, you know, to be able to put up with that. Recently widowed and, you know, your daughter's in the slammer and, you know. So anyway, when you grow up in that mindset, when you grow up in that world, early on, you don't know that what you're living in is actually poverty. I mean, when the only meat you ever have in your life, for the most part, is not meat at all, it's organ meat. That was the only meat she could afford. So that's why, to this day, I don't care who makes it. It could be the Creaky Tree Cafe, and I still won't eat gizzards. I'm telling you, Shane could make these and I would not eat gizzards. I can't stand the smell of them. I can't stand the look of them because we used to eat boiled gizzards and rice growing up. I'm dead serious. If I had a nickel for all the times we had to eat that for dinner, because that's all grandmom could afford at that time, raising, you know, six boys at the time by herself. And, you know, the social safety net back then wasn't what it is now. Well, anyway, you grew up in that mindset and then mom and dad finally get out of the joint. You grew up with them. Dad has a job where he does his thing. You know, they kind of gave up the life of crime. Mom does her thing. And you're raised within this very narrow paradigm of what you think you can be in this life. You're raised in this paradigm of thinking, well, and you never really think outside of it. It was like my best friend I talked about earlier, Dion. We grew up together. I mean, he's, you know, I remember going to the military. Now, I have a military education, trade education, a college education, and a farm education. And I was at first just trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. But I always thought that no matter what it was always going to be in the capacity of having to work with my hands. And, you know, you just never really thought any different. Never even thought that there was a possibility of anything else. Never even occurred to me. Until he brought it up. And he says, you know what, man? It never even occurred to me that, you know, I could be or do or You know, it never occurred to me. And so it got me thinking, man, you got to be kidding me. So he and I started a business. It was a it was an insulation business. And at the same time, we were both in the apprenticeship, in the electrical apprenticeship, and we were both freshly out of the Army. I mean, we did everything together, had all the same classes in high school and went to college together, went to the Army together, the whole nine yards. We were joined at the hip. And, you know, he's like a brother to me, quite literally. And we started this business. And, okay, so at first it was doing well. We were doing good, getting customers. And then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of the illegals came in and they were bidding these jobs. We couldn't even bid these jobs for what was going on. I mean, we couldn't even keep up. Anyway, long story short, it was this long, long road of believing that where you are, you are. And so many of us are in that place. So many of us believe that where you started is where you have to end up. And good night, man. If y'all only knew how many times Michelle and I have had to start over again. I mean, quite literally several times. So it's old hat to us.
It's not, but it wasn't even had to. A lot of times we just decided to, because the life that we had wasn't the life that we wanted forever. And so we decided we were going after the life that we wanted.
Right. I remember even being like in the Army. I planned on, you know, at first before I met Michelle, I had planned on, I loved the Army. I did. I loved everything about it and I was doing well. And I was never really considered getting out. And then I had a family member, one that was wealthy, said, hey, if you get out, I'll pay for you to go to medical school. And the whole, well, it turned out to be a manufactured lie. Well, it turned out to be a lie, but I got out. But at the same time I was getting out, I had a lieutenant colonel, my battalion commander, come up to me and he says, Sergeant Bond, would you consider staying in if I sent you to officer candidate school? I was like, wow, never really considered that. So we gave it some serious, remember, we thought about it and gave it some serious thought. And I went back to Colonel Bales and I was like, sir, I thank you. I mean, I don't know why, but this guy took such an interest in me. I don't know why he did, but that dude just really took he was a wonderful man. And if I ever see him again, man, I really do want to give him a shout out and thanks so much for putting me in it and making me think and realize that I was more than what I had become. But it's that poverty mindset that plagues so many of us in the farming community, in the homesteading community. I kicked out some business ideas here today because I've met so many people that are in this space that feel as if just by being a farmer that you have to live in poverty.
I think the fear component goes along with it too. Like people are, because that's also a lot of what I saw growing up, is you're making a decision to do or not do something, not because you want to or you don't, but because of fear.
Right.
Well, what if I do this and this happens? Well, what if it doesn't? Like, what if you never try? And then you get to the end of your life and you're like, man, I wish I would have actually tried something.
And I got so many of those regrets. And I talked before about how Joel Salatin, it was because of him that I gave myself liberty to fail and fail while daring greatly. And honestly, the failures were always going to be there, but they were awesome learning opportunities. Folks, I'm saying all this because there are so many of us in this space that are pursuing a life trying to do this. And you think that you have to live in poverty. You don't. As I said before, you ain't helping anybody out unless you're at a point of abundance. So what does that mean for you? Okay, I consider it my duty. If I'm going to rescue these kids that are caught up in child sex trafficking, I need to make money. Okay? I need to make money so I can give them this money. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that I can't do that if I'm barely feeding myself. I can't help out the neighbor down the road with a whole basket full of peaches if I don't even have anything to eat. So we want abundant food for us, but we feel as if we have to just kind of eke our way through this life. And meanwhile, we don't have to. And folks, that's really, I'm not going to beat this dead horse. I just want you to rethink. Like I talked about some business opportunities a minute ago, whether it's making a better pitchfork or an ink pen or even, you know, going into worm business or whatever the case may be. don't think, or copying what some other YouTuber has done already. Biggest recipe for disaster. You want the number one way? You don't want to know how we did it or how we're doing it? Because by no means have we arrived. But the only reason we're doing what we're doing right now is that we had to first solve our own problems. I love trees. Wasn't growing no trees here until I came up with a recipe for bone sauce that could be replicated and was stronger. Wouldn't have that. You know, Eric Sider was the first one that really turned us on to comfrey and its benefits. And then found out all this stuff did. And I'm like, okay, well, from my preparedness background, well, we need some of that and lots of it. So we solved our problem, created a business around that. We use rice knives to do all this stuff. Well, we got a business around that too. We got a business around all these things that are first a solving of our own problems. And then we bring it. So we're not in everybody in this homestead space, by and large, you do your version of what somebody else has already done. Don't do that. Not if you want to get any real success out of it. Solve a major problem that you have and that others are almost certainly likely to have. And I think you're going to be shocked at what you can do with it. And then don't concern yourself about whether or not it's going to fail. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think I already just, like, don't govern your decisions based on fear. And don't let fear rule your life.
And certainly keep you within that very narrow box. All right, with that said, we're going to go into, I only got time for one Q&A right now because we got somewhere else to be. But this one is pretty important. Scott wrote in, he says, I'm a listener of your Pimpcast. I emailed you today because I would like, man, I love this guy. I would like to read more about the truths of World War I and World War II. Are there any books, resources I can get to help me do so? Thank you for your time. And check this out. He says, also, my family will be at Jason's Pig Butchery class in November. See you there. Can't wait to see you, Scott and family. So, okay, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to know the comprehensive, now this is going to be some thick reading, but that's what he made it for. There was a guy named Dr. Anthony Sutton, and flipping genius. If you can read everything he ever wrote, and he wrote a lot about it, Wall Street and how they funded and the rise of Hitler, all this other stuff. If you want to know the real truth about how World War I, World War II started, I'll tell you what, a really good series, and you don't even have to buy this. Check out the Corbett Report, and he did a 3-part expose. Now, if you want real in-depth stuff, yeah, you're going to want to check out the work of Anthony Sutton. There's other people out there. John Taylor Gatto even talked about it a great deal. And there's another guy, Eustace Mullins. These guys blew the whistle on all of this stuff concerning World War I and World War II. But if you want a really awesome expose on World War I, go check out James Corbett's 3-part series. It's all audio. It's on his podcast. And if I had a man, it will blow your mind how much is covered in there. Like I said, it's going to give you the cliff notes, but it's going to give you the important cliff notes of what really happened and what was the impetus of starting World War I. And then also, if you get a chance and checking all that stuff out, check out the biographies. Now, man, this is really going to be controversial. Check out the biographies. I'll tell you what, Scott, you tell me if you get a chance. I know I'm giving you a lot of homework here, but I'm going to ask you or anybody else in this audience, tell me what the biographies of Eisenhower, Churchill, and Stalin, what they all have in common. If anybody can tell me, email me and tell me if you know what they are. What they don't talk about, what they don't discuss in their biographies. And it's all surrounding World War II. Remember, y'all, everything you know, World War II Museum is the best museum. I mean, the way it's constructed, you would agree.
Yeah, I would agree. It's the only museum, I think, that has actually held my attention for longer than, because I typically don't last very long. And
yeah, World War II is an excellent, I've been to the National World War II Museum in New Orleans and the World War I Museum. I've been through more times than I can count in Kansas City. And both of them are manufactured lies. Everything, go in there in that World War I Museum. It's actually underground in Kansas City. Go to that World War I Museum and then overlay it with the information you heard from James Corbett. Go to the World War II Museum and look at what you find out from Dr. Anthony Sutton. Look at what you find out And you will absolutely be floored at how much it is all a manufactured lie. And I'm talking every single bit of it. Even the start of World War I and World War II. They're telling you, oh, it kicked off when they assassinated Archduke Franz Ferdinand in World War I. No, that's not how it started. This thing was manufactured long before then by people like Cecil Rhodes. You know, people that have Rhodes scholarships and stuff like that. Cecil Rhodes, Lord Milner, and a number of others. There was the folks, if you knew how insidious and diabolical these people were, it would absolutely blow your mind. And everything you think you know about the sinking of the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, every single bit of that. Pearl Harbor was a complete false flag from the war. Well, it wasn't a false flag. It was allowed to happen. And all of the critical ships were brought out to sea. I mean, I really probably ought to do a lengthy podcast talking about some of this stuff in some real depth, because the real truth of it is, y'all, everything you think you know is absolutely, this is why after Anthony Sutton came out with it, everybody in the press went out of their way to absolutely, utterly destroy this man's career. Even though he was an unbelievable scholar, wrote incredible things. Just read Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. And you're going to find out that people like George Bush, his dad, Prescott Bush, with Brown Brothers Harriman, all these other people like Alan Dulles, I can't even believe they got an airport named John Foster Dulles. These guys were so evil. I mean, they created and wrote up the Treaty of Versailles to create World War II. I mean, and here we are on the precipice of what people are calling World War III. And I think everybody's going to find out. I'm going to leave you with this. I'm sorry to leave it on a negative note, but I'm telling you what, it's the way these things work out. World War I didn't start in 1917. World War II didn't start in 1941. The Civil War didn't start in 1861. Look at when these things actually started, and then overlay it with what you see happening right now. I'll leave it there. And for all those reasons, y'all, get your poop in a group. Get your supplies. Get everything you need. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
They don't want an individual, just a carbon copy. You sitting that man, a cottage. I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. They become a cottage. Got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to split up at the center of the next. Just me. They want me to bother.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Menards has what you need to beat the heat. From bottled water to air conditioners and fans, we have everything in stock to keep you from overheating. Patio umbrellas are simple but effective ways to cool down while outside. We also carry a wide assortment of sprinklers, pools, popsicles, and more to help keep the kids cool. Stock up and stay cool with help from Menards.
Save big money at Menards.